You are Locked On Bulls, your daily podcast on the Chicago Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Make sure you leave us a five-star review on there. You can also find us on Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboom, Google Play, anywhere you can find podcasts. Make sure you subscribe and leave us reviews. You can email us with any basketball questions or advertising inquiries at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at lockedonbulls. Like us on Facebook at lockedonbulls. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. With me, as always, Cody Westerlund of 670 The Score. And Cody, we have a remote podcast today. I'm on the road. I'm in Atlanta.
How is Atlanta treating you, Sean? How was the flight down there?
It was good. I'm going to go get some barbecue later. It's going to be good. But, you know, it's going to be interesting being here. I will just say, given, you know, some of the other stuff that's going on in the country today, I will say that the bumper stickers that I'm seeing in Georgia are very different than the ones that we see in Illinois. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I just actually got back from voting. I'm all for voting. I was a little upset that I didn't get an I voted sticker, though. They gave me a wristband as if I was like a 21-year-old getting into a college bar, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's the only thing. I kind of want to wear the sticker around. But
well, here's the thing. If you voted and didn't, like, get the sticker and put it on Instagram, like, did you even actually vote? Like, I'm pretty sure your vote doesn't actually count unless
you... Yeah, right? It's like if a tree falls in the woods and no one hears it, did it, like, really fall down?
Exactly. Yeah. So I actually did mine a couple of weeks ago. I went on the Illinois state government website, requested a paper ballot, got it in the mail, dropped it in the mail, filled it out, just got it taken care of a couple weeks ago, so I didn't even have to deal with lines or anything like that. So it was good. You know who didn't make the trip to Atlanta and Miami along with the rest of the Bulls and those of us who are covering the team traveling is RJ Hunter. Some hard Bulls news.
The Bulls' 15th man basically has been sent to their D-League affiliate, the Windy City Bulls in Hoffman Estates. Hunter, of course, is the guy they got off waivers basically from, they signed him after the Celtics had 16 good NBA players and you can only have 15 on your
roster.
Well,
I think good NBA players is debatable here.
Say that again?
I think good NBA players is debatable in a lot of these
cases.
Yeah,
well, I'm just repeating what Brad Stevens said when he was at the United Center, and Brad Stevens is a pretty smart dude, so just passing the message along there.
Right. So, you know, for their purposes, 16 NBA players, they decided they only had room to keep 15 of them. But anyway, yeah, RJ Hunter will not be making this trip, which, you know, it makes sense. He has yet to play for the Bulls this season. He's only been active in one game, and that was the game in Boston when Doug McDermott had not cleared the concussion protocol along with Michael Carter-Williams being injured. So those were the two inactive. So he was active. He didn't play. He's not going to play in this Atlanta-Miami swing. So you might as well, the D-League season starts this weekend, so you might as well get him a couple practices there, get him some reps in their D-League season opener against, I believe, the Long Island Nets on November 11th. It's going to be better for him long-term if he can, you know, just practice more in the D-League, get some actual game reps, you know, get some game experience. He's not going to be playing with the Bulls anytime soon unless there's an injury or if it's a blowout or something like that. I think it's the right way to do it, and I mean, this is the first time that we're seeing what the Bulls are going to do when they have their own D-League affiliate, because you're going to see probably throughout the season guys like him and Jaren Grant and Chris Felicio, who are maybe not in the rotation on a regular basis, are going to be, you know, sent down and then called back up to the D-League to practice and then come back and rejoin the team, play in a game, or if they have a D-League game on a day when the Bulls are off, they'll go play in that game and then come back for the game the next day or something like that, which is what a lot of teams are doing.
Yeah, I mean, this is the whole point. The Bulls got their own affiliate. And, you know, Nate Linzer is their coach, and he worked with Hoiberg at Iowa State, came over, was video coordinator in Hoiberg's rookie coaching season in Chicago. I mean, he's mentioned to me before, like, they're basically going to run a lot of the same principles, sets, ideas that Hoiberg has. So a guy like RJ Hunter, even though he might not be with the Bulls in these practices, shoot around, road games here that he's missing out on, like, he's going to get immersed in this more so and much quicker than he would if he was just with the Bulls. Like, he's going to get playing time and actual practice at doing that in a way that he would only see it from the bench before. So like you mentioned, this is the point. They're going to run a lot of the same stuff, have the same ideas. And I mean, of all these people that Fred has on his staff and in the organization, I mean, Nate's one of the closest people he has, you know, just personally and professionally, because they respect each other so much and spent time at Iowa State again. So that will be good for the Bulls. I think that's enough time probably on the RJ Hunter experiment in the D League. More to the point of these Bulls, they do have a back-to-back, Sean, as you mentioned, Atlanta on Wednesday, Miami Thursday. You'll be at both of them. Dwayne Wade's usage is kind of a topic of discussion because he was bad Friday on the bad in the first back-to-back on the back end of that after being good Friday, struggled Saturday.
Right, he scored 35 points.
Both planned to play him normal minutes, Fred Herbert said, both games.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if they actually do play him normal minutes. It's the kind of thing, I mean, unless it's a blowout, the thing that the Bulls have been lucky about is that a few of these games, the first Indiana game, actually both Indiana games were blowouts, but then also last night against the Magic and then the game the other week in Brooklyn, they were on the right end of three of those blowouts and on the wrong end of one of them. But those games are blowouts, and that means that a lot of their starters, especially a guy like Dwayne Wade who's getting up there in age, doesn't have to play as much. So maybe he's a little bit fresher than you would think. And the other thing is that Dwayne said after the game last night, he was kind of at his locker. A few of us were still there after a lot of people left, and he was kind of reflecting on what it's going to mean for him to go back to Miami on Thursday, because that's going to be his first game against the Heat with a different team. And he basically said, like, if I can't get up for this game, then there's a problem. Like, even if it's the second night of a back-to-back. So I think even if he plays 35 minutes, which I don't think he's going to play 35 minutes in the game in Atlanta tomorrow, but if he plays, like, a normal amount of minutes, he's just, because of what the game is, he's going to come out motivated. I mean, you know, you're not going to come out motivated the same way for a game in Indiana on the second half of a back-to-back as you are going to go come in motivated for a game in the city where you played for 13 years, especially when it ended the way it ended for him in Miami.
Yeah, are you, I mean, do you think Saturday was an outlier, an anomaly for Dwayne Wade struggling on the back end of back-to-backs this season, if playing him on both nights is what the Bulls want to do most of the time? Do you think this will be a problem, or do you think he can be productive consistently? I'm not talking 22, 24 points in these games, but just be efficient and score 16, 18 points efficiently and bring them what they need on both ends of that. Or do you foresee a lot of struggles on this end, John?
I think it's an outlier early in the season. You know, as the year goes on, as we get to like February or March and his body starts to wear down a little bit, you know, they're probably going to cut his minutes back. And especially like if they're making a push for the playoffs and they have a little bit of cushion in terms of their record, which it's a good thing they're banking these wins early. But, you know, if they have the opportunity, I think there's a chance they might start resting him on back-to-backs or start cutting his minutes. As he's said, and as Fred's has said many times, it's basically his call. If he had gone to Fred after the Knicks game and said, look, I don't want to play in Indiana, he wasn't going to do that because they had lost that Knicks game and it wouldn't have been a good look. But if he ever goes to Fred and says, look, my body is just not really feeling up to playing a game, Fred isn't going to force him to play a game. This isn't Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, that's very true. And it's worth noting, I mean, the Bulls played nine guys when the game was in doubt against the Magic on Monday night in their big win. Obviously went deeper on the bench when they were up 30 points or so, 27 in the fourth quarter, I think, is when a couple extra subs came on. We asked Fred about it. He sounded like he was still not scared to play Denzel Valentine and Jaron Grant with the game on the line. I'll believe that when I see it a little more. I think nine is probably a good number. So when you factor in D-Wade's usage, like there's four guys off the bench coming behind him probably. And two of them right now, with Michael Carter-Williams out, are wings or guards in the form of Doug McDermott and Isaiah Cannon right now, it seems like. So I think that's how kind of the puzzle fits together or whatnot. But if his minutes do get scaled back, it would maybe seem Denzel Valentine would have a few more, is what I would guess. I don't know what you think on that.
Yeah, and I'm actually interested to see how Denzel looks when he gets real minutes. He has only really had minutes, you know, in the game against Boston, you know, after after MCW got injured, he got in a little bit in the first half in that game as kind of the backup point guard, but then Jaren Grant played better than he did, and so he kind of got the majority of those minutes. Denzel's really only played garbage time so far other than that, but he's been knocking down threes, and his defensive effort, like, I still don't think he's a great defender, the skills aren't there, but he's certainly getting in front of guys, and the effort is there, so I think once he gets a little bit more comfortable, and that's another guy we were talking, circling back to the RJ Hunter thing, Denzel is another guy that might see some time in the D League just so he can get some reps if he's not really in the rotation. But, you know, it's really hard to judge anything based on this garbage time that he's played in, but I haven't disliked what I've seen out of him so far.
Yeah, certainly. And, I mean, that'll be a storyline as they head west, I think, for that. After they play the two road games, they come home for one against the Wizards. And then I think maybe you learn a little bit more out west on that road trip when the games pile up and the challenge is pretty high and you're just away from home for a while. So we'll keep an eye on that. Did want to get to some of your questions, which you can always find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, and you can find Sean at Hyken and myself at Cody Westerlin. Always welcome those. Robert via Twitter asks, why is Bobby Portis not playing more minutes than Nico Mirotic? Why is he kind of not sliding up into that go-to big guy off the bench, Sean?
Well, that is interesting. I mean, you know, Portis has actually slid a little bit ahead of Chris Felicio in the rotation. Early on in the season, it looked like Felicio had kind of earned that spot. But Portis has been playing well lately. But as far as why he hasn't played more than Mirotic, I think it's because they just have so much invested in Mirotic at this point. He was a guy for years before he came over. He was drafted in 2011. He didn't come over from overseas until 2014. And so for those 3 years, it's been, oh, they have Mirotic coming over. He's their big, you know, Euro overseas prospect. And, they, you know, he's making a lot more money than Portis is. And so I think they kind of still see him as somebody, you know, he can, when he gets hot, he can provide that shooting. Portis, I think they don't think his shooting is as far along as they want it to be, whereas Nico, they really need to be successful off the bench in order for what they're doing to be successful.
Yeah, I would agree on pretty much all those points. And there's an argument here, too, that Fred often touches on, like, early in the season. I know Bobby Portis rebounding is something he can do, but I think Fred likes how Nico rebounded early on, and also the toughness he provided when he wasn't making shots in these first few regular season games. And it was such a marked contrast from the preseason because Nico wasn't making shots and he wasn't doing a lot to help in other ways. But that did kind of turn. I mean, just right away on opening night even, or in one of those first games, he had like 9 rebounds for the Bulls. And he did battle on defense. And I think Nico is still more comfortable defensively than Bobby is. He's a little quicker, so you can take advantage of Bobby if you're the other team off the bounce in a way you might not be able to quite as much with Nico. Even though Nico gets pushed around sometimes still too, he did seem to make a little progress early on in the season on that. And maybe some of it was matchup based, and when the Bulls play really burly teams that bang around inside, that those problems will expose themselves a little bit more. But again, the Bulls have been good at rebounding so far here early in the season. And Nico, when he has played his role in doing that. And Nico probably still knows the offense a little bit better, I would guess, just being a little bit more seasoned of a professional basketball player. So a lot of things there. And you got to remember, Bobby was bad, too, for some stretches of the preseason. And he's had a really good last couple of games. So him coming on is a little bit more of a recent thing. So maybe we see that turn around a little bit. Moving on to a question from Ryan via Twitter. I can take care of this pretty quick, but he asked, what's the update on Michael Carter-Williams? Not a real big update lately. He still has that bone bruise in his left knee. Expected to be out those 4 to 6 weeks, which puts him back maybe early December, maybe mid-December, if we stretch that out based on Bulls doctors' estimations. Sometimes you want to tack on a couple weeks. Maybe it lasts a little longer, but they do expect him back sometime in December. So far, so good. I think basically he's just been prescribed a lot of rest, and there's not a lot of news on that front. I guess I would follow up to you, Sean. When he does come back, do you think he slots right back in there as kind of a key guy off the bench, or will Isaiah Cannon have left his mark on the Bulls by then?
Well, I think they're going to, you know, the thing is they have the luxury of being able to kind of ease him back in because they have so many guys who can handle the ball. But, you know, if he's healthy and he's feeling, you know, up to playing physically, I think he's going to go right back to playing his normal role unless the doctors say there's some kind of minutes limit. If he doesn't have a minutes restriction on him, then I think he's going to go right back to just that primary backup point guard role that he was playing. But, you know, to answer the question, you know, he's been around the team. He seems like he's in a good mood. He's walking without crutches because obviously there was no structural damage to the knee. But yeah, it's going to be probably after the road trip in the middle of November. So probably, you know, the early December is the earliest we can expect to see MCW back. He might be closer to mid-December. You would hope by Christmas he'll be back.
Yeah. Next question on Twitter from Dan. Has watching Rajon Rondo been hard for you? Hashtag forced passing, hashtag atrocious defense. A little background on that.
Those are some good hashtags.
For the listeners. Yeah, definitely bringing it. We love hashtags that Locked On Bulls too. A little background. Rondo did get yanked about 5 minutes into the game Monday night when the Magic were running up and down the court getting layups and dunks and the Bulls were putting up very little resistance as a five-man unit. Rondo definitely kind of hacked up resistance to the point that Fred Hoiberg took him out of the game and put Isaiah Cannon in, and to the point where Doug McDermott was making jokes later saying it had to be the second unit of this night that came in and locked down the defense. Fred right. wasn't happy. You could tell he didn't directly call Rondo out, but he did go out there and say that they needed to start playing defense and substitutions had to happen for that. And Rondo was the first substitution. Personally, I don't think it's been hard to watch him play basketball. I think he has brilliant court vision. And after years of watching Derrick Rose not put up much resistance defensively, maybe I'm just kind of inclined and it's ingrained to watch this poor defense at the start on the point guard for the Bulls. But yeah, he wasn't good the other night. But I still like watching Rondo play basketball more often than not, I think, Sean.
Yeah, I mean, he's certainly... he's entertaining in his own way. You know, he'll throw some pretty cool passes sometimes. But yeah, no, I would certainly agree that he there are times where it seems like the ball movement is better when they have the second unit in than when they have the first unit in, or at least parts of it. But yeah, I mean, I can kind of understand where Fred was coming from yesterday, taking him out early on, and because the defense was just kind of not cutting it. And Isaiah Cannon, for what you want to say about him, I don't think he's a very good defender in terms of skills, but he tries a lot.
That's half the battle, at least, right?
Absolutely.
I think that touches on most of our topics. Fill us in, Sean. The Bulls have shoot around Wednesday morning in Atlanta, correct? And
yeah.
Probably play a game that night, and then probably don't have shoot-around Thursday, but that'll be the next couple media availabilities.
Yeah, there's no shoot-around on Thursday because they never do it on a back-to-back. But, yeah, they're going to do shoot-around tomorrow. We'll see what comes out of that. They have the Hawks tomorrow night in Atlanta. They have the Heat on Thursday in Miami. Then they come back and play the Wizards in Chicago on Saturday before going off on that two-week road trip. So I will be at all of that. I'm not going to do the whole road trip in the end of November, but I'm going to be doing about half of that. So most of the next few games I'll be at. That means podcasts are going to be a little bit more sporadic, maybe with a few more different guests than just the two of us, just because I can record with who I can record with while I'm on the road, and sometimes our schedules don't coordinate to where we can record together. Tonight was kind of an off night, so we were able to jump on Skype. And by the way, I'm sorry if there's any audio quality issues. It's always better to do them in person, but you know, sometimes the schedule doesn't allow that.
Yeah, and don't forget your assignment too. It's to ask Dwayne Wade about Pat Riley and just the conversation in Miami, because I'm interested in that. I think basketball fans across the NBA are kind of interested in that, because this is kind of the homecoming can also provide, I think, some closure is probably a good word for Dwayne Wade going back to Miami, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like it kind of was for Derrick Rose and Joakim Noah coming back to Chicago last week.
Certainly. So, as always, please follow us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. Find us on Facebook, our Facebook page also, Locked On Bulls. Follow Sean at Hyken, myself at Cody Westerlin, and most of all, as always, please do subscribe as we bring you the daily news, updates, analysis, and opinions on the Chicago Bulls.
That's right. You can find us on iTunes. Make sure you go on there, leave us a 5-star review. You can also get us on Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboom, Google Play, anywhere that you can find podcasts. You can find Locked On Bulls. Subscribe to The Athletic to read my work covering the Bulls. Check out 670 The Score and 670thescore.com to read Cody's work, and we will be back with you soon.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.